David's first day working for Senator Barton's campaign was, at that point, the most nerve-wracking of his life. He had worked so hard, gotten the best grades, beat out every man and woman in his university to get this internship. But the sparkle had faded very quickly as he got stuck into the daily drudgery of being an entry-level employee. And not even a fully paid one. Oh, don't get him wrong, he was still delighted to be working for the senator, and it wasn't as though he expected his daily tasks to be anything other than office work, but he still expected the excitement to remain. David's first day working as Senator Barton's personal assistant was almost like having a continuous heart attack that lasted all morning. He was no longer going to be an intern, and therefore would be getting a full wage. But he was also going to be in the direct eye line of his boss, who was also his hero, for most of the day. She was going to be scrutinizing his every action and potentially discipline him for the things he got wrong. Still, it didn't scare him. It excited him more than anything else ever had. To be trained in politics, at the knee of one of the greatest politicians of the day, being at her beck and call, taking orders from her, and doing a small bit to help affect change in the world, was his boyhood fantasy come to life. You won't just be learning at the knee, a mischievous little voice in his head said. You'll be learning at the knee, on the knee, possibly across the knee if you're not a good boy. Shut up, he said out loud. Thankfully, it was so early there was no one in the corridor of the office. Some of the senior staff liked to get an early start, but David had turned up even earlier than that. It was practically still dark outside. But he wanted the office and himself to be perfect when the senator walked in. He did not need an erection, tenting the front of his trousers, or a dazed look on his face. He was a professional, young gentleman. So, he took a deep breath, opened the door to the senator's office, and she was sitting there, with her morning paperwork and her diary open on the desk. His heart sank a little. His job as an assistant was to get everything ready for her. If he couldn't even do that, what good was he? Barton looked up and smiled as she saw him come in. My goodness, David, you are early. I suppose you wanted to make a good impression. I appreciate that. Yes, Senator. I thought I would do as much as I could so I had time to learn the more complicated things quickly. Her smile got wider. I knew you were the perfect person for this job. She quirked her fingers in a come-hither motion, and David approached the desk, sitting down across from her. I should make a confession. This was something of a maneuver on my part. I suspected you would get in early and wanted to be sure that I beat you here, because, one, it is to enforce that you are the student and I am the master. But more importantly, it gives me a chance to introduce you to some duties that are better performed when the office is quiet. Lock the door, take your trousers off, and come sit in my lap. We can go over this morning's agenda together. Much like yesterday, David didn't even think twice before obeying. He locked the senator's door, removed his trousers, folded them neatly on a small decorative chair beside the door, and went over to sit in his boss's lap like it was standard operating procedure. Who knows? Maybe it would be from that point on. First thing I want to reiterate from our last discussion is that you have the ability to say no at any time. If I do something that makes you uncomfortable, if you don't want to do something, or it all gets a bit too much, I will stop, she said, as she wrapped her arm around his waist, settling it on his naked thigh. Now, with these kind of games, that can be complicated. People can say no when they don't really mean it, as it is part of the game. So we need to find another way for you to come out of assistant mode and back into David mode. I think the best way to do that is to call me by my name. You would never address someone so superior to you by their name, so that will break the spell instantly. Also, it means when we're alone, and you have anything you want to say to me sincerely, person to person, I will listen. David had never felt so smitten in his life. He felt as though he'd won the lottery. Here he was, not only with a professional, but personal relationship with Juliet Barton. She was going to teach him, guide him, care for him, and respect him all at once. He had never imagined he would meet a woman who would do that. "So look here," she said, indicating the papers. "This is a report on poverty figures in my district. Tell me what you see." David looked down at the page. It was a standard comprehensive study that combined data from previous studies to come to a conclusion. It was a method of study invented by the great mathematician Davina Lavoisier, after whom he was named. His mother was a huge nerd, which was probably where he got his aptitude and passion for this kind of thing. It finds a correlation between poor male education and poor income. Lack of appropriate education leads to young men making stupid mistakes at this point where they are the most vulnerable, which gets them stuck in a cycle they pass on to both their sons and their daughters. "And what is my opponent's stance on this issue?" she asked. "Conservative politicians are trying to say that the problem with crime and poverty is that unlike in the old days, men are going out to work, so one parent is not at home to do the child rearing as much as they did in the past, and as a result, unsupervised kids are going out and causing trouble." "Excellent," the senator said, reaching between them to cup his arse. "I am genuinely impressed. You are even smarter than I thought you were." "Thank you, Senator." "Are you going to debate candidate Langley soon? I can't wait to see you show her what a real senator looks like." In any other circumstances, he would scarcely be able to believe what he just said. But he was half naked, with his suit jacket still on, sitting on his boss's lap at 5:30 in the morning, talking about political discourse. He was literally living his fantasy. He was going all the way with it. Besides, the idea of a powerful woman destroying another intellectually was such a turn-on for him. He had lost count of how many times he'd masturbated the first presidential election cycle after he hit puberty. Those women were just on a level of power and intelligence that made him weak for them. He felt a sharp pain in his bottom and realized he'd just been pinched. "You certainly have some deviousness hiding under that gentlemanly exterior. I like it. But it is also my job to ensure that you know all the ins and outs of diplomacy, if you are going to have a career in this industry one day. And one key weapon of diplomacy is humbleness. So while I am overjoyed to see a vicious streak in one so outwardly sweet, I think it's time for me to give you your first lesson. Get down on the ground, on your knees." He did so immediately. She then pulled some bacterial wipes out of her drawer. "Clean my heels, and I am going to get back to preparing my answers for the debate. Make sure you get them really, really clean. You will be thankful considering what it is you'll be doing next." And with those words, the senator proceeded to ignore him. Here he was, kneeling under her desk, at her feet, being ordered to perform the most menial of tasks, and things had never felt so right in his life. He took a hold of her ankle and proceeded to gently rub the leather of the expensive shoe with the wet wipe. His eyes travelled from her stocking-covered legs all the way down to the dainty toe of the shoe. He was entranced by his task. Nothing mattered but carrying out the senator's orders. And when he was done, he sat back and admired his handiwork. He didn't know what came over him, but he leaned down and delicately kissed the toe of each shoe. The senator didn't notice, and David didn't even question his actions. It just felt so right. And on top of that, it just reinforced that he and his boss were on the same wavelength, because a couple of minutes later, she pushed her chair back so she could look down at him again and said, "Okay, now finish cleaning them with your tongue. All the while you are doing that, I don't want you to concern yourself with anything else other than the task I have given you." And with those words, she went back to work. He was going to lick someone's shoes. What had happened to him? Why was he suddenly okay with this? His parents had brought him up to be a good gentleman. Obedient, yes, but not to the point of indecency. He was intelligent and accomplished. He should have felt degraded by being asked to do this. He should have felt degraded being propositioned by his boss like a common hussy, but he wasn't. Why was that? Goddess, he was just so confused. "David? David, what's wrong?" Suddenly, Juliet Barton's face was looking down on him with concern. "Are you all right?" she said, reaching down to cup his cheek. "Is it all a bit too much?" "No. No, it's just the opposite. I don't understand why I want to do this. I've dreamed of working for you for years, and I'm here, and I want to lick your shoes. I'm better than this. I can do more than this." "I know you can, David. That's not the point of these orders," she said, gently but firmly. "I know you know. I know if I said no, you would send me back to my desk to manage your diary and you wouldn't think any less of me. What I don't understand is why I want to. I'm so confused." "Shh, it's all right. This is an incredibly complicated issue. I shouldn't have thrown you in so soon." David wanted with his whole being to argue, but she continued. "Men are meant to be submissive to women. But submissive doesn't mean they are worth any less. Submission is a great gift men give women in society. But people have taken advantage of that and degraded and used them. So I champion men's education and independence so that if they need to move away from a useless woman who is abusing that gift or isn't giving them what they need, they have the ability to leave and take that gift with them. Society is at its best when men are free to submit themselves. Sadly, many have been made to think that their submission is shameful and weak, and have begun to think that in order to be strong and respectable, they need to do everything on their own. Don't fall into that trap, David. You are not lesser because of your need to submit. You are perfect." David let out a huge, shaky exhale. He felt like he understood now. He had this gift and he was choosing to give it to a woman who deserved it. He was choosing to serve and obey like men were meant to. Like men were free to. "Come, sit on my lap. We'll go over my diary together and do something a bit gentler the next time." "No," he said sharply. "No, Juliet, I want to. Please, let me do this for you." She smiled, and it was the appropriate use of her name that informed her that he got it. Her voice then took on a more apathetic tone as she said, "Good. But I've changed my mind. It won't be long before the early birds start arriving for work, and that little cock of yours is so hard. She then handed him a large piece of newspaper. "Place this under my feet. I want you to jerk off. I want you to come on my shoes, and then I want you to lick up the mess you make." "Yes, Senator." A wave of calm came over him again, as he was now back in that comfortable mindset. He had a task to complete, and that was all that mattered. So he grabbed his cock, which was already slick with pre-cum, and started pumping it. He also reached under his shirt and started fondling his nipples. All he could see were those shoes, and all he wanted to do was put his mouth on them. So he did. He leaned down and started kissing and licking them. There was a chance the senator would object, as it wasn't part of his orders, but she didn't. He even imagined that there was a small smile on her face as he did it. It wasn't so much the shoes that turned him on. It was not something that ever turned him on before, but it was the fact that he was showing his submission to this woman. This amazing woman. And he felt no shame in doing it. Goddess, this was getting him so hot. He was so hard, so desperate. Had he been given permission to come at any time? He wasn't sure. Either way, there was some kind of mental block happening due to that uncertainty. "Senator?" he keened. "Yes?" May I? I need... Please." A small chuckle could be heard from above his head. "Good boy. Yes, you may come whenever you like." With those words, David started moaning with abandon and jerking his cock harder and harder. He needed to remember he wasn't allowed to get any on the carpet or the senator's stockings. There would be consequences if he did that. Part of him wanted to know what those consequences were, but now was not the time to find out. He was a good boy. He was a good boy. He was coming so hard. The ecstasy was carrying him away from consciousness, but he needed to remain. He needed to know that he'd come where he was told. And he did. It was mostly on the paper, but there was a little bit on the shoes, and the stockings were unharmed. He immediately bent over to clean his mess off the shoes, running his tongue along the expensive leather and savoring his own obedience and submission. He was in a haze, but just conscious enough to feel the senator get up and walk away. Before he had time to panic, she returned with his trousers and underwear. "Get up, David. Nice and slow, that's it. Now, let's put these back on." He did as he was told, feeling as though he needed to lie down and have fingers carding through his hair. He felt a hand cup his fiery cheek as his boss said, "You did so well, David. Such a good boy. You did everything I asked, and even had the presence of mind to ask for permission before coming. I am very impressed with you. But this has been a lot to start off the workday, so you are going to sit in my lap until you feel more lively, and I am going to get back to work. Let me know when you're ready for your next lesson." And with that, he rested his head on her shoulder, closed his eyes, and breathed her in.